All right, so this is chapter 4 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, called The Leaky Cauldron. It took Harry several days to get used to his new strange freedom. Never before had he been able to get up whenever he wanted or to eat whatever he fancied. He could even go whenever he pleased, as long as it was in Diagon Alley. And as this long cobbled street was packed with the most fascinating wizarding shops in the world, Harry felt no desire to break his word to Fudge and stray back into the Muggle world. Harry ate breakfast each morning in the Leaky Cauldron, where he liked watching the other guests, funny little witches from the country, up for a day's shopping, venerable-looking wizards arguing over the latest article in Transfiguration Today, wild-looking warlocks, raucous dwarves, and once what looked suspiciously like a hag who ordered a plate of raw liver from behind a thick woolen balaclava. I don't know what that is. Is that a mask or something? Oh, should I read slower? Oh, yeah, it was, the hag was wearing a thick woolen balaclava. Oh, well. Anyways, after breakfast, Harry would go out into the backyard, take out his wand, tap the third brick from the left above the trash bin, and stand back as the archway into Diagon Alley opened in the wall. Harry spent the long sunny days exploring the shops and eating under the brightly colored umbrellas outside cafes, where his fellow diners were showing one another their purchases. "It's a lunascope, old boy. No more messing around with moon charts, see? Or else discussing the case of Sirius Black. Personally, I won't let any of the children out alone until he's back in Azkaban." Harry didn't have to do his homework under the blankets by flashlight anymore. He could now sit in the bright sunshine outside Florian Fortescue's ice cream parlor, finishing all his essays with the occasional help from Florian Fortescue himself, who, apart from knowing a great deal about medieval witch burnings, gave Harry free Sundays every half an hour. Wow, that's quite a few Sundays, huh? Once Harry had refilled his money bag with gold galleons, silver sickles, and bronze knuts from his vault at Gringotts, he had to exercise a lot of self-control not to spend the whole lot at once. He had to keep reminding himself that he had 5 years to go at Hogwarts, and how would it feel to ask the Dursleys for money for spellbooks to stop himself from buying a handsome set of solid gold gobstones, a wizarding game rather like marbles in which the stones squirt a nasty-smelling liquid into the other player's face when they lose a point. He was sorely tempted, too, by the perfect moving model of the galaxy in a large glass ball, which would have meant he had never to take another astronomy lesson. But the thing that tested Harry's resolution most appeared in his favorite shop, Quality Quidditch Supplies, a week after the Leaky Cauldron. Curious to know what the crowd in the shop was staring at, Harry edged his way inside and squeezed in among the excited witches and wizards until he glimpsed a newly erected podium, on which was mounted the most magnificent broom he'd ever seen in his life. "Just come out, prototype," a square-jawed wizard was telling his companion. "It's the fastest broom in the world, isn't it, Dad?" squeaked a young boy, younger than Harry, who was swinging off his father's arm. "Irish International side just put in an order for 7 of these beauties," the proprietor of the shop told the crowd, "and they're favorites for the World Cup." A large witch in front of Harry moved, and he was able to read the sign next to the broom. "The Firebolt," it read. "This state-of-the-art racing broom sports a streamlined, superfine handle of ash, treated with a diamond-hard polish, and hand-numbered with its own registration number. Each individually selected birch twig in the broom tail has been honed to aerodynamic perfection, giving the Firebolt unsurpassable balance and pinpoint precision. The Firebolt has an acceleration of 150 miles an hour in 10 seconds and incorporates an unbreakable braking charm. Price on request." price on request. Harry didn't like to think how much gold the firebolt would cost. He had never wanted anything as much in his whole life. But he had never lost a Quidditch match on his Nimbus 2000, and what was the point of emptying his Gringotts vault for the firebolt when he already had a very good broom? Harry didn't ask for the price, but he returned almost every day after that just to look at the firebolt. There were, however, things that Harry needed to buy. He went to the apothecary to replenish his store of potion ingredients, and as his school robes were now several inches too short in the arm and leg, he visited Madame Malkin's robes for all occasions and bought new ones. Most important of all, he had to buy his new school books, which would include those for his two new subjects, Care for Magical Creatures and Divination. Harry got a surprise as he looked in at the bookshop window. Instead of the usual display of gold-embossed spellbooks the size of paving slabs, there was a large iron cage behind the glass that held about 100 copies of The Monster Book of Monsters. Torn pages were flying everywhere as the books grappled with each other, locked together in furious wrestling matches and snapping aggressively. Harry took his book list out of his pocket and consulted it for the first time. The Monster Book of Monsters was listed as the required book for Care of Magical Creatures. Now Harry understood why Hagrid had said it would come in useful. He felt relieved. He had been wondering whether Hagrid wanted help with some terrifying new pet. As Harry entered Flourish and Botts, the manager came hurrying towards him. "Hogwarts," he said abruptly, "come to get your new books." "Yes," said Harry, "I need..." "Get out of the way," said the manager impatiently, brushing up Harry's side. He drew on a pair of very thick gloves, picked up a large, knobbly walking stick, and proceeded toward the door of the monster's book's cage. "Hang on," said Harry quickly, "I've already got one of those." "Have you?" A look of enormous relief spread over the manager's face. "Thank heavens for that. I've already been bitten 5 times this morning." A loud ripping noise rent the air. Two of the monster books had seized the third and were pulling it apart. "Stop it, stop it," cried the manager, poking the walking stick through the bars and knocking the books apart. "I'm never stocking them again, never. It's been bedlam. I thought we'd seen the worst of it when we bought 200 copies of The Invisible Book of Invisibility. Cost a fortune and we never found them. Well, is there anything else I can help you with?" "Yes," said Harry, looking down at his book list. "I need Unfogging the Future by Cassandra Veblatsky." "Ah, starting divination, are you?" said the manager, stripping off his gloves and leading Harry into the back of the shop, where there was a corner devoted to fortune-telling. A small table was stacked with volumes such as Predicting the Unpredictable, Insulate Yourself Against Shocks, and Broken Balls, oh no, When Fortunes Turn Foul. "Here you are," said the manager, who had climbed a set of steps to take down a thick, black-bound book. "Unfogging the Future, very good guide to all your basic fortune-telling methods, palmistry, crystal balls, bird and trails." But Harry wasn't listening. His eyes had fallen on another book, which was among a display on a small table. "Death Omens, What to Do When You Know the Worst is Coming." "Oh, I wouldn't read that if I were you," said the manager lightly, looking to see what Harry was staring at. "You'll start seeing death omens everywhere. It's enough to frighten anyone to death." But Harry continued to stare at the front cover of the book. It showed a large black dog, as large as a bear, with gleaming eyes. It looked oddly familiar. The manager pressed Unfogging the Future into Harry's hands. "Anything else?" he said. "Yes," said Harry, tearing his eyes away from the dogs and dazedly consulting his book list. "I need Intermediate Transfiguration and the Standard Book of Spells, Grade 3. Harry emerged from Flourish and Blotts 10 minutes later with his new books under his arm and made his way back to the Leaky Cauldron, hardly noticing where he was going and bumping into several people. He trampled up the stairs to his room, went inside and tripped and tipped the books onto his bed. Someone had been in to tidy. The windows were open and the sun was pouring in. Harry could hear the buses rolling by and the unseen Muggle street behind him, and the sound of the invisible crowd behind in Diagon Alley. He caught sight of himself in the mirror over the basin. "It can't have been a death omen," he told his reflection. "I was panicking, and I saw the thing in Magnolia Crescent. It was probably just a stray dog." He raised his hand automatically and tried to make his hair lie flat. "You're fighting a losing battle there, dear," said his mirror in a wheezy voice. And that's where I think we'll stop for tonight. And tomorrow we can finish chapter 4. What do you think, Boo? Okay, I love you so much, sweetheart. We can't wait to see you.
I don't want to go tomorrow.
What's that?
I don't want to go tomorrow.
You too, kitten. I love you.
I love you too.
Good night.